everybody, this is Dave from The Loved Ones, and you're listening to Rock and Fuel.
What's up and welcome to Rocket Fuel, where we play punk, ska, indie, and everything else in between. My name is Jeff, and I'll be your host. Coming up on this episode, we have new music from The Hold Steady, Hit the Lights, and Ninja Gun, as well as classic tracks from The Impossibles, No Use for a Name, and Drive Like Yegu. I'll also review Make Your Mark, the debut album from Canadian punk band Living with Lions, and later I'll talk to Dave from the great rock band The Loved Ones. But up first is new music from The Hold Steady. From their awesome new Vagrant release, Stay Positive, here is Sequestered in Memphis. Welcome back to Rocket Fuel. That was a brand new song from Ninja Gun. The Valdosta, Georgia band released their debut album, Restless Rubes, a few weeks back. That song was called 8 Miles Out. Prior to that, you heard the rock band Cheap Girls with Stop Now. That comes off of their Find Me a Drink Home record. The band recently announced that they are partnering with Quote Unquote Records for the digital release of the record. If you are not familiar with the label, Quote Unquote is a donation-based digital distributor that allows you to download their band's records for free and accepts donations from fans to keep the label going. To learn more about the label and their band's records that are available for download, visit QuoteUnquoteRecords.com. And now, punk rock headlines. Los Angeles, California's Jughead's Revenge will have their albums Images Everything, Just Joined, and Pearly Gates reissued through Nitro Records via iTunes. The albums had been out of print due to a lawsuit with Archie Comics, which has since been resolved, leaving the band to change their name to Jug's Revenge. The band has been on an undetermined hiatus since 1999. Hopeless Records has announced the launch of a new imprint. Named P is for Panda, the label is the project of Chad Pearson, who founded and ran the Militia Group for 12 years. While the company initially began as a t-shirt company, Chad is now branching out into a proper indie label. Like Hopeless's other imprint, Sub City Records, P is for Panda has a strong charitable arm, with a third of its profits going to various charities. The first release on P is for Panda is a compilation featuring 16 songs from 8 up-and-coming groups, including Gasoline Heart, Discover America, Damien Swamy, Mike Dunn, and the Kings of New England, and more. The album will retail for $1.98 and be available digitally August 5th, with a physical street date of September 2nd. And continuing with the clothing side, P is for Panda has also unveiled a new summer line of t-shirt designs from artists Jesse Ledoux, M. Brady Clark, Brian Manley, and Roy Fleeman. And finally, the Bouncing Souls have announced a handful of shows for September. The long-running and much-loved punk band will perform at a Hot Water Music reunion gig in Portland, Oregon, to be followed later in the month by 3 East Coast dates with bands like Sick of It All and Everybody Out. Earlier in the year, the Jersey band announced plans to release 1 downloadable song on the first of every month in 2009. Punk rock headlines are brought to you by my friends at punknews.org. Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's punknews.org. Up next is some more new music. This time, it's from Hit the Lights. The band recently released their new album, Skip School, Start Fights, on Triple Crown Records. Here is Backbreaker.
I've been carving down the days on my bedroom door. Teeth are all the I'm with all of you. Yeah, it's the world that calls my name.
So come on,
come on, come on.
Touch it, I can't wait much longer. Living in this moment, I know Santa Claus will be closer tomorrow.
Yeah, when these lights go down, I swear I'll look for your eyes. You're singing every word.
Back here at Rocket Fuel, that was the hardcore act Set Your Goals with Flight of the Navigator. The band got their name from the 1999 Civ release of the same name, which by the way is an amazing record. Before that was the explosive Denton, Texas band High Tension Wires. From their album Midnight Cashiers, that was Tokyo Is Burning Down. Last month, Canadian punk rockers Living With Lions released their debut album, Make Your Mark, on Black Box Recordings. The boys from Vancouver have been getting some exposure in their homeland lately as they tour with a Wilhelm Scream. Make Your Mark opens up with She's a Hack, and once you get past the odd old man talking in the beginning, the thumping drums, soaring dual guitars, and pounding bass are shot out of a pop-punk cannon. When listening to the first track and other standout tracks like A Bottle of Charades, Cold Coffee, and Park It Out Back, singer Matt's vocals are reminiscent of Trevor Keith from punk legends Face to Face. The energy of the record does not let up from there. Over the course of Make Your Mark, Living With Lions play consistently solid punk rock songs with clean instrumentation that fans of Blink, The Swellers, and as I said earlier, Face to Face will be very happy with. About halfway through the record, the band slows things down a bit with the song called My Dilemma. By adding a layer of piano and slowing the tempo over the second half of the track, the band shows a more serious side on this song about the end of a relationship. I should also note that while Matt's vocals are strong throughout the entire album, members Shane, Landon, and Chase provide backup vocals that complement Matt and turn many of the songs into sing-along anthems. On the Rocket Fuel gauge for albums, a 0 being that the album is out of gas, a 5 being that the tank is half full or average, and a 10 being that the album is full of gas and ready to blast off, I give Make Your Mark a 7. This is a band that I am very excited about and look forward to future albums. Living With Lions will be touring in the States later this summer with the Wonder Years, so if they're coming to your town, you should definitely check them out. Here's my favorite song off of the record. This is A Bottle of Charades.
I can't take it. I can't.
wasn't me, it wasn't you, it wasn't anybody.
It wasn't
you
anybody.
Knew within your open insecurity, the one companion that stuck by your side since you were born. Tuesday night you were in a fight, the same old argument, black and white. There's something that's eating you inside. It's not the food, it's not the booze, it isn't anything consumed. So is it becoming a problem you can hide? And all those times you thought that you were wrong, you were right. The devil on your shoulder gives you sacred paranoia. The countless times you called a few, your best until the end of time. They'll always be there by your side. Life, I guess we can pretend. It's not like I care, but anyway.
You always wanna leave, you never wanna stay. Cause you think if you drink too much, then you will lose it. You'll drink insecurity away.
The one companion that stuck by all sides since you were born. The little voice inside your head, annoying and confusing. That's all they'll tell you what to do. Socially you've lost your mind, and basically you're out of time. Try to feel so much it breaks on you. What that means you'll never have a clue. What that means you'll never.
And we're back at Rocket Fuel. That was back-to-back songs from Fat Records bands. You just heard Philadelphia's own The Loved Ones with Suit Yourself. Before that was an awesome classic track from No Use for a Name. From their 1995 album Leche Con Carne, that was Soulmate. The band released their latest album, The Feel Good Record of the Year, back in April. Going back to The Loved Ones, a few weeks ago I had the chance to chat with singer and guitarist Dave about our hometown Philadelphia and the latest on the band. Here it is. Well, hey, I've got Dave from The Loved Ones here on the phone. Hey, Dave, thanks for doing this interview. How's it going?
It's going well. Thanks for having me here.
Oh, man, it's my pleasure. Of course, earlier this year in February, The Loved Ones put out their second album, Build and Burn, on Fat Records. Where did that title come from for the record?
Well, the idea was to make a record about choices, and we wanted that to be a sort of central theme on the record. And just felt like that seems to be oftentimes when you find yourself at a crossroad or where you have to make a decision, that there's some sort of building and burning involved in almost any of those decisions. You know, like even if you're making a positive decision, a lot of times something ends up getting destroyed, or even if it's just an opportunity that you miss out on. So we just felt like it was a good we thought it was a good title to kind of encompass the idea of human beings making choices that end up impacting themselves and the people around them.
That's awesome. Now the sound on this album kind of takes more of a turn into rock than the previous album you guys did called Keep Your Heart. What influenced you guys when you were making this record, and was that a deliberate choice for you guys when you were writing the songs for this record?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, ultimately, we've always considered ourselves to be somewhat of a rock and roll band, and I think that working with Pete and Brian and Bob as the production team, they really encouraged us to just go with our instincts and to take things that seemed like risks, you know, and I guess they were risks because we are on a more of a punk label and have toured with a lot of punk bands. But to me, you know, I've always just been a fan of music, and I don't really listen to more punk than anything else. You know, I listen to all kinds of music, but mostly, you know, rock and roll music. So I think it was somewhat deliberate, just in that we wanted to make songs that we wanted to hear. But it wasn't, we weren't saying like, this is going to be our rock and roll record, and then, you know, that first one was our punk record. I mean, ultimately, you just write what comes out and put your best foot forward and try to be as honest as you can when you're writing the lyrics.
Right. Earlier, you mentioned working with Pete and Brian. Of course, they're in the legendary punk band Bouncing Souls. Of course, good friends of yours. You went on tour with them. What was it like going into the studio with them? Obviously, you're friends with them, but what was it like working with them in the studio on the record?
Well, it was like hanging around with your buddies and making music and having, you know, your friends there to encourage you and to help guide you through the process. I mean, they're pretty hands-off in terms of, like, pushing us to do specific things. They were more hands-on in terms of, like, being encouraging and facilitating the record getting done and being as creative and pushing the limits of what we wanted to do, and I think that's exactly what we wanted. We wanted to be in a comfortable situation where we weren't dealing with, you know, your typical producer who has their own agenda and sort of lives off a record business machine. You know, like, the Souls aren't really producers. They've only produced records for themselves. So, you know, I think that they knew that we were precious about things and didn't want them diluted, and we didn't want to get pushed into any directions that seemed, you know, contrived. And so they knew that the songs and the vision of the band was paramount, and they helped facilitate that. That was kind of the goal, and I think we reached the goal, especially, you know, when it comes to dealing with producers.
Right, and it's definitely awesome to work with producers that are friends of yours, because you know, as an artist going in, that they only have your best interest at heart, as opposed to, you know, money or the label or whatever. They're there with you to make the best music possible that you want to make, so that's
right. I mean, our last producer was great. I mean, Brian is a friend of mine too, but I don't necessarily want to keep doing the same thing over and over. So, you know, I'm tempted again to go back and work with Pete and Brian, but I always think that it's good to keep moving forward and not necessarily get caught in one pattern of doing things one way. You know, like I want to be creative in all the things that we're doing and all the choices that we're making. So I don't know that we'll do it again, but I'm really tempted because it was such a great experience.
Right. Now, you guys just got back from Europe not too long ago. How was that playing over there?
Europe was great. It was our first headlining tour in Europe, and we had a blast, and it was really successful. Things have definitely, in terms of being a touring musician, since I started touring. When I started touring, I was a roadie, but, you know, just the climate in the world has changed, you know, culturally and socially. So it's a little bit strange to have the dollar be so weak and to sort of be the laughing stock of a lot of people politically. But it was great. I mean, I think that people respond well to what we do in Europe, and it was really terrific. I mean, we were pleasantly surprised in many, many different cities, and we just had a blast. It's been great. We've had different times, and this for sure was the best. It's always fun to go someplace and have a loved one show, not necessarily with someone else, and see, you know, and have it be really good, because you feel like, wow, you know, they're not waiting for my band to see the band after, they're here for us.
Right.
That's really a uniquely inspiring thing to have happen.
Sure. Now, having been over there, what do you think is the biggest difference between a European crowd versus an American crowd as far as, you know, fans of your music?
Well, I think that the biggest difference is their approach to music and art in general is not as disposable. I don't know why necessarily. I don't know if it's a different style of marketing or if things that are artistic are just valued more inherently within the culture or what, but there's not the same idea of like disposable art as there is in America. So that's cool, you know, like things are subsidized by the cities, and
right.
Or venues are subsidized by the cities, and there's just a higher value put on these kind of cultural things, and now, you know, there's not that idea that, like, oh, you know, you only have one shot, or, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
This kind of idea in America where it's like, it can be a drag, and people are always parading some new product in front of you, or new band, or new scene, or new sound, and it's not really like that over there as much. It's
right.
More just, you know, music for music's sake, and there's value in that, and,
right.
And there's a timelessness to it. You know, I don't think that we're going to go over there ever and feel like, you know, we're yesterday's papers or something, you know.
Right.
It's
right.
Weird, not that we've reached that in America either. We've been lucky, but I've definitely seen that happen to bands that are further in their career than we are,
yeah.
And it's something that, you know, as a young band, we don't have to deal with it yet, but
right.
I don't know. It's just, you can have that. Yet people say crazier things in America, like, you know, this is your second record. It really has to do this. It really has to do that.
Right.
It can become daunting. It's like, look, it doesn't have to do anything but inspire people. And, you know, we're moving at our own pace, and, you know, we're proud of what we're doing. It's you know, it's victory.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's success, so.
Right. Now, do you think with, like, the popularity of music downloads and things like iTunes and others here in America and abroad, too, do you think that hurts the mentality as far as making, you know, music as dispensable or things like that when you don't have a consumer buying a physical product, you know, that LP or that CD? Do you think that hurts that or enhances that disposable mentality of music?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to, like, fall on one side or another, that argument, you know, that ongoing thing. I think it's unavoidable at this point. The only The only thing I think you can do at this point is work within the new model, which is, you know, people want to stream music and they don't necessarily place any value on a CD and all that. I mean, to me, it's a little bit of a different thing that I was just talking about because, you know, I think that a kid who's downloading songs all day still downloading music and interested in music and is putting value on it.
Right.
Whether or not it makes it more disposable or not, I'm not really sure. Probably. But I don't know. It's tough because I don't want to be that curmudgeon who's like, things sounded better on vinyl. Because right. I don't really necessarily care about that.
Right.
But I also, I'm not entirely convinced that people are at, I don't know, there was a certain value in searching out, like finding the replacements or finding bands that weren't necessarily huge yet or didn't have, you know, the biggest poster in the record store or whatever, you know, like that search was valuable to me and made music a unique thing for me. But playing music has definitely changed the way that I look at it. As a fan, as a teenager, I definitely thought differently than I do now. As like a songwriter and a performer or whatever, you know, it's different. I mean,
yeah.
I guess it's probably contributing, yeah. I think it's probably contributing to, like, the lack of value people put on it.
Right. Now,
But, you know, yeah. I think more of it, the thing that freaks me out more is, number one, high gas prices.
Oh, yeah.
It's making it more and more difficult to even tour in America.
Yeah.
Where we're from. And so that's something that I think is going to start to separate the people who really mean what they say and really live this as a lifestyle and as, like, I think that you're going to start seeing bands that don't necessarily mean it as much fold up shop because it's not necessarily a lucrative thing. It's going to be a little bit more like blues musicians who didn't necessarily make a lot of money doing that. And I kind of think of ourselves that way at this time because we all come home and work, you know?
Right. Well, and that, you know, that might serve as kind of a cleansing of the industry where only the pure of heart are the ones that survive.
Yeah, I mean, and I like to think of it that way. It's kind of a romantic way to think about it. I mean, you know, it's at this point, people are touring more because they cancel records. Well, if touring becomes less and less lucrative because gas prices go up and up and transportation becomes more expensive, well, then you got to really need it. You got to be okay with going home with less money.
Right.
And to be honest with you, I'm okay with it. It doesn't make a difference to me because the band is getting more popular and reaching more people. It's just gas is also mounting costs too. So it's kind of like, you know, I judge it in terms of the connection you make with other people and the live show and how you're impacting other people's lives and how they get to, like, you know, share that with you, I guess.
Right. Well, that's very awesome. Now, you and I, of course, share the same hometown, Philadelphia. Of course, I've since moved away, but you're still there. A little jealous in that regard. How is the scene there? And is it hard to play in a city of that size and try to get a local fan base of that size? What is it like in Philadelphia?
You know, it's been great for us. It's been, you know, unbelievable. I don't know. How long ago did you go back to Philly?
Well, I graduated from high school in 96, and that was when I moved away, and I haven't been back to visit in, gosh, probably about four or five years now.
Well, you know the church, the Unitarian Church,
oh, yeah,
I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be able to play there and sell it out is, like, it's an incredible thing for me, being a guy who went to shows there and still goes to shows there. So Philly's been really warm. We're going to play on Festival Pier, which holds 6,000 people on Saturday. We're opening for the Hold Steady and Devo on this festival, and then a couple of weeks later we get to play with Hot Water Music at the Trocadero. So, I mean, we've been given a lot of great shows and a lot of opportunities, and I think that we've also risen to the occasion and played our hearts out, and we've established a great fan base in Philly. We've played almost every venue that I can think of wanted to play in the city.
That's awesome.
And so we've had a real fortunate run. I mean, if But we've also been involved in music for so many years that we did get certain opportunities maybe smaller bands wouldn't get or younger bands wouldn't get. So I don't know. It's been great to us, and that's all I can really say. I mean, I think it hasn't been that difficult because there's been an incredible scene and really close-knit. Everybody from, you know, the singer-songwriter radio station WXPN to the punk scene and R5 Productions and even the Live Nation people that we know have been, like, really, really good to us. And I think that in Philly, there's so few bands that end up touring as hard as and as long as we do that, you know, Philly's an underdog town. The sports teams always seem to lose. You're in the shadow.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been that way. It's always the city that feels like it's got something to prove. And I think that when a band like us goes out and tours hard, the hometown people really take a shine to that. You know, they really feel proud and invested in the band as well. So I think that's part of it too, you know.
Yeah.
So I remember that when I sold t-shirts for Kid Dynamite. That was a big part of why they were so big in Philly, was because they actually played other cities other than Philly. You know?
Right.
They would go take their brand of Philadelphia music to Cleveland or to Detroit or San Francisco. So
right.
I think, like, for us, we're taking it even further. We're taking it to Europe and to Japan and Canada and everywhere we can. So it's been great.
Yeah. Well, as a former resident of Philadelphia, I can tell you that I'm proud of you guys as a Philadelphia boy. So that's definitely awesome to take that underdog mentality worldwide.
Thanks, man.
You mentioned you know, playing with the Hold Steady and Devo of all people, and I know you guys are going to be playing some dates with the Hold Steady. What are your plans this summer and coming into the fall?
Well, basically, we do a bunch of festivals in the next week or so, and then we go to Canada for a week, and then we start with the Hold Steady. We do about a month with them in North America, mostly West Coast and the South. We finally get to play Texas and
cool.
Louisiana, two places we haven't even played other than for South by Southwest.
Right.
So we're definitely playing some cities in America we've never even played, which will be cool with the Hold Steady. I mean, they're like our favorite newer rock and roll band.
Right.
And then we go over to England and play Reading and Leeds with Rage Against the Machine and Queens of the Stone Age and
wow.
all these giant bands, which should be a total trip.
Definitely.
And doing a couple more European shows, and then we come back and we're going to go out with Flogging Molly in the States.
Oh, that's good to hear. That's definitely good to hear.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any, and obviously you got a lot of touring plans in the works, do you guys have any thoughts or plans to get back into the studio anytime soon?
Yeah, we're doing, there's a split coming out. It's just a one song aside, split 7-inch that we're doing with Chuck Reagan, where we covered one of his songs and he covered one of ours. That comes out, I think, in August or September.
Okay.
And we're going to do a little covers record. We're going to put that out, just covering friends of ours songs. Just for fun, we were thinking about doing that. I'm not sure if that'll happen, but we're actually writing for the next record.
Okay.
So I wouldn't be too far off to think that there'll be a Loved Ones record in 2009. So,
awesome.
You know, we're trying to up the output at this point. We've got three songwriters in the band, so, you know, we've just got tons of ideas. I mean, really, within a couple weeks of Build and Burn hitting, we were already starting to put together ideas, so it's kind of just, it's become a huge part of our life and something that we take seriously, and we're just going to keep moving forward with it.
Great. Well, Dave, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with me here. I greatly appreciate getting the chance to talk to a fellow Philadelphian.
Right on, man. Likewise, and enjoy that heat in Florida. Hopefully you can get up for a visit sometime soon.
Oh, gosh, I hope so, too. I would like to thank Dave from the Loved Ones for being gracious and coming on the show. From their latest album, Build and Burn, here is the Loved Ones with The Bridge.
This is motivation. You rock him to the bone.
might see how foolish she was for leaving me. Might take a bruise or two before she longs for my abuse. Running away, what did she, I guess? She left my mind a sloppy mess. Was it so hard to talk about? Suspect that the cause couldn't be as bad as the effect. Crazy girls just seem to collect and scribble down notes like a science project. Your argument is no defense. It's a big fat lie of a false pretense. But now I roam from home to work, singing songs about you and feel like a jerk. She might see how foolish she was for leaving me. Might take a bruise or two before she longed for my abuse. Running away was easy, I guess, but she left my chest a hollowed out mess. Wasn't so hard to talk about stuff that I couldn't figure out.
Welcome back to Rocket Fuel. That was a classic track from the Austin, Texas ska band, The Impossibles. Originally released on their 1997 self-titled debut album, and later on their anthology record, that was So Much. Up next is our last song for this episode, and it comes from a band listed by Alternative Press Magazine as one of 23 bands that shaped punk. From their 1994 record, Yank Crime, here is the Rick Froberg, John Reese-led band, Drive Like Yahoo, with New Math.
That's all for this episode of Rocket Fuel. Be sure to check out my MySpace page at myspace.com/rocketfuelpodcast. Send requests, love, or hate mail to rocketfuelpodcast@gmail.com. I'd like to thank MU330 for supplying the theme song to the show, which is aptly called Rocket Fuel and comes off of their 1999 self-titled record. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.